think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And it's good to be back in Israel, even in these difficult days, especially in these difficult days. This is my fourth visit to Israel as Secretary of Defense, and my second time since October 7th. And I know that Israel has been profoundly changed from where you were on October 6th. So I'm here with a clear message. America's support for Israel's security is unshakable. And Israel is not alone.
And you have to emphasize it over and over again, it appears. That was Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, making another trip to Israel to make it clear to them the U.S. still stands beside you. Despite all the anti-Semitism rise in this nation, despite Ivy Poison League College University presidents and others saying, well, we don't know really if anti-Semitism is that bad. I mean, it's a hate crime. But aside from that, from the very beginning, I told you, keep watching how the Biden administration began to slowly back up, more and more daylight appears. If you have to keep telling someone over and over and over again that you're with them, do you begin to think, I think I'm being fed a line of, you know what. And the pressure continues against the Biden administration within his own party for being too close to Israel. And, of course, more calls for ceasefire in the international community and the United Nations, all of them trying to say the U.S. needs to teach Israel how to do things right. Yeah, that would be great based on this administration. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, December 18, 2023. The first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back right here for you. And I always encourage you and remind you that we also are streaming video when we're on with you. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or the Rumble channels, and you'll be able to watch the program in addition to listening. Now, the other thing is, if you miss any part of any program, please remember, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, pull it up, watch and or listen at your timing and pleasure. And when you do, I'm going to ask a favor of you. I'm going to ask you to send it, share it with someone else, family member, friend, maybe even an enemy. Let's just see how fast we can multiply those shares. I appreciate it. So there was Lloyd Austin again making his trip into Israel. And the speech was pretty similar to everything we've heard before. Then he goes through the litany of what Hamas did. It was full of facts and so forth, but it's what the Israelis already know. There was nothing really new other than say, I'm here for my fourth trip and making sure you know we still stand with you. I'm not saying the Israelis don't appreciate it, but I'm beginning to suspect that more and more you speak out, you say things like that, the more and more I begin to question, really, how far are you willing to go? Well, again, Secretary of Defense Austin made it clear, we all need to recognize Hamas has a deadly future plan.
Hamas has clearly and loudly spelled out its vision of the future, and it is to repeat October 7th over and over and over again. No country should tolerate such a danger. And Israel has every right to defend itself against a fanatical terrorist group whose stated purpose is to murder Jews and eradicate the Jewish state. Hamas is still holding hostages, including American citizens. Hamas embeds itself and hides itself behind innocent Palestinian civilians. Hamas does not speak for the Palestinian people. And Hamas is determined to doom both Israelis and Palestinians to an unending cycle of suffering and strife. So make no mistake, Hamas should never again be able to project terror from Gaza into the sovereign state of Israel.
Now again, repeating pretty much everything that's been stated before. Reassuring is one thing, but over and over you begin to question, where's the crack that you're trying to cover up? That's my question anyway. What about you? Let's get an update that is filed earlier by Trey Yangst from Gaza.
Over the weekend, Israeli forces discovering a new tunnel in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. You can see in this video here, it spans for more than 2 miles and goes 150 feet underground. It's also equipped with electricity and ventilation, but does not enter Israeli territory. The discovery comes as Israeli troops continue to operate across Gaza. In the Jabalia neighborhood, troops located $1.3 million worth of Israeli currency in suitcases in a senior Hamas leader's house. The Hamas-run Palestinian Health Ministry reports dozens of Gazans were killed in this area amid Israeli strikes over the weekend. Local media reported that crews were still searching under the rubble for survivors. Israeli forces also striking a number of sites where Hamas fighters were located, including a cell in the city of Khan Yunis and a sniper position in a separate compound. The ground activity comes as U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is in Israel today to meet with top officials.
And there was a tragedy involved in some of the action over the weekend. I want you to hear it directly from CBN News, and then I'll give you some clarification.
An unbearable tragedy. That's how Benjamin Netanyahu described the loss of three hostages who were accidentally killed by Israeli forces in Gaza.
Israel is in mourning over the three hostages mistakenly killed by IDF soldiers Friday. The hostages had spelled out a sign outside their building that said, "Save us hostages," in Hebrew, with leftover food. They were also carrying a stick with a white cloth and were unarmed and shirtless, yet they were mistaken for terrorists.
It broke my heart, broke the entire nation's heart, and our hearts go to the families at this tough hour. At this difficult time, it's important for me to also send support to our warriors. They sacrificed their souls to achieve a crushing victory over our enemies and to return our abducted.
In an address to the nation, Netanyahu said military pressure is necessary to free the hostages.
We will learn the lessons. We will apply the lessons. And we will not let go of the military and political effort to bring all the hostages home.
We've all talked about the fog of war in the sense that civilians are being hurt. We know that, mainly because Hamas hides behind them and under their baby beds. And we've suspected that perhaps some hostages might have been killed by accident by some of the IDF attacks upon Gaza and strongholds and the tunnels. But in this case, this is one of those things that really raises the flag again on how dangerous it is in a war zone, because some things can go wrong really fast. The Israeli Defense Force is conducting an inquiry on how this happened. Those three hostages, as you were hearing being described by the CBN News report, they emerged around 10 a.m. Saturday morning. One of the IDF soldiers saw them and shouted, "Terrorist," immediately. Now, we don't know exactly at this point what he saw other than three men coming out. The soldiers all opened fire, which would be against protocol if they knew and saw the white flag at that point. They killed two, wounded the third, who ran into the building, continued shouting for help in Hebrew. A battalion commander ordered the troops to stop firing, but they kept shooting and killing him. And at no point did any of the soldiers, including the commander, imagine the three were actually hostages. Well, obviously that has put a wrenching, horrific feeling in the pit of the stomachs of those in Israel waiting for hostages to come out when they know that some hostages might have been accidentally killed as the Israeli forces moved in on Hamas, but in this case, intentionally killed. But not intentionally trying to kill hostages, but again, it's that fog of war. And Israel is also responding to a report that they were killing two Christians at a church in Gaza. They are emphatic about this. There's been a claim by Pope Francis that Israeli forces over the weekend killed a mother and daughter, killed in cold blood at the only Catholic church in Gaza City. Pope Francis condemned that killing as terrorism and is also condemned by Catholic officials elsewhere. The IDF spokesman said an investigation has been made and nothing found to substantiate the claims made in the media, repeated by the Pope, and of course magnified by the media around the world. The IDF said there was no fighting in that neighborhood where this church is located. But of course they have to admit that they did kill three of the hostages. So they're admitting that, but that they did not fire and kill a woman and her daughter leaving a Catholic church. New polls show that Trump is well ahead in any primary candidate race, which means he certainly could be the Republican to face Joe Biden if Biden is still in the running come November. So for the state-controlled media, it's time to let the dogs out.
Former President Donald Trump is holding a commanding lead in this Republican primary, but he is now facing criticism for lavishing praise on dictators and ramping up his attacks on immigrants, using phrases that have clear ties to white supremacy and Hitler. On the campaign trail, former President Donald Trump is drawing big crowds in a swing through early voting states, but coming under fire for these anti-immigrant comments he made in New Hampshire this weekend.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done.
That language echoes white supremacists and was used by Adolf Hitler in his autobiographical manifesto, Mein Kampf, where Hitler criticized mixing races, calling it, quote, blood poisoning. Trump has repeatedly used the phrase.
He's disgusting. And what he's doing is dog whistling to Americans who feel absolutely under stress and strain from the economy and from the conflicts around the world. And he's dog whistling it to blame it on people from areas that don't look like us.
Well, of course, they could find a willing Republican to come forward, Chris Christie, to make those final comments you were hearing. And all the remarks of the story leading up to that, talking about how Trump is calling migrants, he's referring to illegals coming into the country. You know that. I know that. They know that. But they're not going to care about that. ABC continues.
If elected, Trump promised to carry out mass deportations, deputizing the National Guard to arrest undocumented immigrants.
I will terminate every open borders policy of the Biden administration, stop the invasion of our southern border, and begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
On the campaign trail, the former president also praising dictators, at one point invoking Russian President Vladimir Putin, using quotes from a top U.S. adversary to attack President Biden.
Vladimir Putin, has anybody ever heard of Vladimir Putin? Of Russia says that Biden's, and this is a quote, politically motivated persecution of his political rival is very good for Russia because it shows the rottenness of the American political system.
The Biden campaign responding with a blistering statement, writing Trump parroted Adolf Hitler, praised Kim Jong-un, and quoted Vladimir Putin while running for president on a promise to rule as a dictator and threaten American democracy. And Trump's own words turning off some Republican voters.
He takes things to the extremes, and this is part of the drama we're trying to get away from. There's no reason for it.
But the former president is still the far and away frontrunner, ahead of his Republican rivals by 50 points.
He's not afraid to hurt people's feelings, and there's nothing wrong with that. People really need to toughen up a little bit.
Well, I'll give ABC credit for a balance there between Republicans you were hearing saying that he's going for the overdrama, he doesn't need to do that, which I will also agree with. And then you had a Republican at the end, you need to toughen up a little bit more. And I agree with that. What did Trump actually say? What did he actually say before he got edited down and words were moved around to make it appear that he was much harsher, according to the ABC and all the other state-controlled media reports, What did he actually say? Here's a clip.
We got a lot of work to do. You know, when they let, I think the real number is 15, 16 million people into our country, when they do that, we got a lot of work to do. They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done. They poison mental institutions and prisons all over the world, not just in South America, not just the three or four countries that we think about, but all over the world. They're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world. They're pouring into our country. Nobody's even looking at them. They just come in. The crime is going to be tremendous.
Yeah, the crime, the terrorism possibility, and it is poisoning the blood of America. And Americans, if you want to look at it that way. But they go back on the state-controlled media. What have we heard and read that? Oh, Mein Kampf. Hitler! Hitler! There's no comparison. But they like to pull it up. And here's the other point. I'm not a 100% Trumper. But I take offense every time when it comes to supposedly journalism. When they take something and they twist and turn it around. They kept calling them migrants. They're not migrants, they're illegals. We are built as a nation of migrants. That's not the issue. It's how you come through the country. I'm looking at a piece from CNN. Now, they changed it a little bit. They're trying to make it sound a little bit better. But at the same time, they called them undocumented immigrants. That would mean illegal. Illegal. But here's the line from CNN on their web page as it exists now. Former President Donald Trump denigrated undocumented immigrants during a Sunday campaign stop that marked the latest example of him ratcheting the anti-immigrant rhetoric ahead of the GOP nominating contest kicking off next month. It's not anti-immigrant, it's anti-illegals. And once again, as I said about another issue earlier, they know the difference, you know the difference, but they're just going to keep trying to shove it down your face so maybe their message will get heard louder and be bought into fully. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says, whatever Trump is out there saying, keep in mind what's at stake.
According to the FBI director last week, he's never seen more threats to the homeland than he does today. Wherever he looks, he sees blinking lights. The border has been obliterated since January 21 till now. We've had 6 million people come to date. There are 3.6 million on schedule to come.
And on schedule, more to come. Speaking about coming up, the Arizona governor, Democrat, ordered up the National Guard, directly criticizing Joe Biden's open-door policy. More on that. Also, Bidenomics slamming Americans and businesses. Andy Pielsto of Cafe Napoli with his view of the restaurant industry in the last year and going forward. So I wanted to hear that result. And also coming up next, and listen carefully here, rent a womb. Rent a womb. This is another way China is working to take over America. Now, the very phrase, rent a womb, not a room, a womb. My guest will explain. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Jim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Make camp where the land is bare. I'm gonna run away to Tuckumcari. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from. Left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The country of China, for all of its billions it has, is suffering a population decline, a birth rate decline, so they're looking for other ways around it. They had decades of a strict one-child policy, so now they've got a population, but it's an aging population and many past childbearing age. China bans all forms of surrogacy. You cannot be a woman and have a younger man or an older man fertilize you, either in vitro or whatever. They want anything like that. Yeah, not in their country, but they see America as a place and added benefits. And joining us with more details on this, we've had her on numerous times before, Jordan Boyd with The Federalist and co-producer of The Federalist Radio Hour. Jordan, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
So this piece in part, I know one of your colleagues, Emma Waters, also wrote about it. America's rent-a-womb industry luring an alarming number of Chinese nationals. What's the threat?
Yeah, well, the U.S. has what we call a permissive surrogacy policy, which really means there's no federal regulations on surrogacy. And there's a lot of foreign countries that do. Europe specifically has multiple laws kind of governing surrogacy or outright banning it. And China's taking advantage of this permissive policy in the U.S. And many of their foreign nationals are using it to sort of have anchor babies or get birthright citizenship, a door into the U.S. And this is problematic for several reasons. I mean, first of all, China being one of our top enemies, we have a lot of concerns about the infiltration tactics that they use to get into our institutions. But we're also concerned about the exploitation of United States women who are kind of they take part of the surrogacy industry because of the lure and promise of cash. But it really does a lot of emotional and physical damage to women and children.
And back to the one point you made in the very beginning, which is the key point for the Chinese government, the term anchor baby, Trump had brought it up when he was running for the first time around and immediately chastised, oh, my God, you're making them sound like unwanted children. And the issue being that if you're born on U.S. soil, you have an automatic U.S. citizenship, whether you're illegal coming into the country or for a period of time, Russian oligarchs were flying women into South Florida in their last month or so of pregnancy so the child would be born here and have a U.S. citizenry. And now these women, if they bear children here in the States, and yet the child's going back to China, it's the same thing. Where's the threat in that situation?
Absolutely. I mean, this lure of automatic citizenship, the easiest way for someone to buy into it is to quite literally rent a woman's womb in the U.S. and you know, have the sperm and the egg that they purchased or provided implanted in this woman. And then once that baby is born on American soil, they have kind of this, what they believe to be a right to move into the United States and, you know, birthright to.
And our Constitution provides it. Our Constitution provides it. So they're taking advantage of what's available. Go ahead.
Yes, correct. So that's why we kind of hone in on this permissive surrogacy policy, is because that's really what's opening the door here and problematic for all the reasons that we just listed. I mean, the international surrogacy market is worth billions of dollars, and it continues to grow as assisted reproductive technology continues to expand. So when we see how these policies are being taken advantage of, especially by, you know, people who may have malintent towards our national security, that's a problem.
And we know China plays the long game, and this will certainly be part of a long game. I'm looking at data from this last July for the Society for Assisted Reproductive Technology Clinic Outcome Reporting System, as published in the Fertility and Sterility Magazine Journal. It found that Chinese nationals make up the largest percentage of foreign surrogacy contracts in the U.S., 13.4% Chinese being involved in the rental womb.
That's correct. I mean, and the next leader in that ranking is France, which is only 2.9%. So, I mean, that is very disproportionate. That should raise some alarms. And, I mean, we have concerns with the domestic surrogacy industry in the United States. This is an industry that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, effectively harms women and children. We have data that shows that it can change the brain structure of babies when they're born, when they're ripped away from the woman that they've grown under for 9 months. It can hurt women postpartum. They have a higher risk of postpartum depression. They have threefold risk of developing hypertension and preeclampsia, and they report feeling heightened anxiety when they're a surrogate. So we have problems with the domestic part, but when you add this international layer, it really, really emphasizes that there needs to be some regulation and guidelines, and we've seen that play out in other countries. I mean, France, Italy, India, Thailand, Nepal, Taiwan, Germany, all of these countries and more have policies regulating surrogacy or outright banning it because they've looked at this data. They said, hey, people can take advantage of this. It hurts our women. It hurts our children. But for some reason in the U.S., no one's interested in doing that. And it really does come down to the profit. Big fertility is profitable.
Well, you know, it's almost ironic and yet tragic at the same time. Some of these that are probably pushing it, you know, very active about it, are among those also shouting out for abortion.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot that coincides between the big fertility industry and the abortion one. And the main thing is that the adult's desire is put first. Someone who wants a child is allowed to buy an egg, buy sperm, buy a woman or rent a woman's womb. And the same thing goes for abortion. If someone wants a child or doesn't want a child, you know, their desires are put first, not what's best for the child. Whereas, you know, in an adoption situation or in a different situation, the child is put first. Their interests are put first. And all of the data points to this harming women and children, but that's overlooked for the profit.
And since you mentioned that what's harming the women and children, and I've heard stories from women who were basically renting a womb to another American, and they had an arrangement worked out, but then the mother, you're right, after giving up the baby she's carried for 9 months, does go into deep postpartum depression, more so than many women who have a baby or even a stillbirth. But they set themselves up that they're going to take the money, and then suddenly realize, I don't want to give it up, but they're bound by contract. And in this case, that child is going to go to another country, never to be seen again by the woman.
Absolutely. And these surrogacy contracts are insane. I mean, they govern what a woman can eat, what she can do with her body. There was one case, I believe this last year, where a California woman was paid by a gay couple to carry an unborn baby to term. And she was actually pressured by the men to end that child's life when she received a breast cancer diagnosis during her second trimester. And she was bound by a contract to respect that wish, even though that baby was alive and well in her, and she was willing to forgo some of her own treatment to continue carrying that baby. So it is just a tragic, tragic situation. It makes humanity transactional. And there have been people who have bought into the surrogacy thing. I mean, celebrities have done it. It's very popular right now. And even they have admitted, hey, you know, this hurts my bond with my child. This hurts my bond with that woman. This hurts that woman. You know, I mean, no one is blind to what's going on here. It's very transactional.
And what about the child? I mean, the child is being so innocent at every step of the stage here.
Exactly. I mean, at the moment of a baby's birth, they're the most fragile they'll ever be in life. And they're being ripped away from the one source of nutrients, the one source of love that they've known thus far. And that's just a terrible situation to put a child in. Obviously, there are situations that come up in the world where children are removed from their biological parents. But when you go into a situation and you intentionally say, we're going to take you away from the one thing that you've known, and we've known that since the beginning, that's an awful way to go about things. It does hurt babies. I mean, children who grow up knowing that they, you know, were bought and sold this way, have identity struggles. They are left feeling motherless to some degree. In some cases, they lack the medical history they need, or they don't have the connection they need with that biological mother or the person who carried them. So it does. It leaves a lot of hurt in its wake.
Well, we do know that children that maybe mom dies during birth or shortly after, maybe both parents or no one else, and they're raised by someone that, you know, loves them, cares for them, everything. So I can see where a child born in the U.S. for a Chinese parents goes back to China, never knows what their birth is beyond that, except they have a U.S. citizenship. And I, you know, still pray for those kids to have a good life, but I'm not sure being put into China and other places like Thailand, so forth, that if they're going to have a great life as they would here. But what do we do about it on the basis of our 14th Amendment allows this to take place?
Right, and that's the big question. And really what it comes down to is lawmakers on the state and federal levels who should take a closer look at this commercial surrogacy industry, because that's what it is. It's a business. And a law clarifying that there are limits to birthright citizenship that can't be bypassed just because a business sees it as profitable would be really, really helpful. And it would not only save us from this crazy debate with the global international surrogacy industry, but it would also help guide some of the domestic policy
Let me throw a wrench in your argument there, in the sense that, well, all right, so now if you want to put surrogacy under a federal statute, then why are we going back to abortion under a federal statute as opposed to leaving to the states?
Yeah, no, it definitely opens it up. The thing right now that sets this apart from abortion is there really is no guidelines. Like, multiple states do not have guidelines when it comes down to this. So, yeah, you could open the door to that. I don't see a federal policy coming up in the future on surrogacy for the domestic stuff, but certainly an international policy guiding this would be helpful.
Definitely would be helpful for everyone involved, and it would stop a Chinese long-range goal of being placed in America with that American passport. Jordan Boyd, I certainly appreciate your time and insight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, folks, I know you probably are not surprised if I tell you the state that is pushing hardest on this to have more of the Chinese parents have surrogacies in their state, California. You're not surprised, are you? Coming up, more California crazies for you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President, she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Where what deep in love? Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're going to talk about California crazies here on this Monday. Get you really fired up for the rest of this week. And you cannot get more crazy than a couple of the stories I have here in front of me. I spotted one of them, and my boots on the ground correspondent Chicago spotted another one forwarded to me, so thanks, Andrew. But let's begin with this one, and it involves basically a commentary that appeared and written by Rachel Emanuel, and I don't, it's listed as a commentary, but it's also a mix of fact news, so I don't see the source, actually. I must have cut it off a little early. But here's what happened. In January, a San Francisco panel, wait a minute, before I do that, let me go back and get the actual story. I never like giving you something that I can't back up and then you can check it out, because I don't like keeping anything away from you. All right, this is the Western Journal. That's what it was. It's a Western Journal publication, and it's written by the Rachel Emanuel. It was listed as an opinion piece, but under their commentary section. But here's what it starts out. In January, a San Francisco panel studying reparations for slavery came up with an ambitious proposal. You remember this. I told you about it previously. They decided reparations would be a lump sum payment of $5 million to every eligible black American in the city by the bay. And I also point out, if you're black, you don't go run to California because they got some qualifications. You've got to have some history there and much more than that. That was the start. The column continues. The San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee also proposed the elimination of all personal debt, guaranteed income of $97,000 for black residents for 250 years, providing homes for black residents at a price of $1 apiece. That was according to libertarian writer Christine Tate in a commentary on The Hill, wrote, and the cost to the city for this plan was estimated at $175 billion for the $5 million payouts alone, without taking into account all the add-ons I just gave you. Homes for a dollar, who's going to sell their home for a dollar? Are they just going to take it by eminent domain? Or a guaranteed income of $97,000 for 250 years? I guess that would be for the individual and all heirs going forward for 250 years. And The Hill pointed out that is bigger than the entire budgets of 47 of the 50 U.S. states, the $175 billion. Now, when asked about if the $5 million per person was too large for a city, the committee supervisor stated, no, it's just the opposite. In a National Review report stated, you can Google a lot of the work of the reparations has been done. Look at the monetary formulas people put together. And most certainly the $5 million is a minuscule number compared to a lot of research done over the past couple of decades. But here's where things changed. The Entitlement Committee, as they say it should have been called, now they have to forget about reparations because the city, I'm sorry, it's just so, when the left turns on itself and bites itself in the butt, the city does not have money to even fund the committee. So all this work they've been doing, they're not going to get paid. According to the San Francisco Examiner report, funding for the troubled city's first ever Office of Reparations has been eliminated by Mayor London Breed as part of a $75 million in cuts to her city budget. They were originally going to be working on $50 million to establish the Office of Reparations in San Francisco in the budget. Then the request got reduced to $10 million. Then the committee finally secured $2 million so they could fund and hire staff and hold their hearings. And now that $2 million has been eliminated not only for this year, but the next two budget years as well. So after all this work, the committee's not going to get paid anymore either. Well, they're optimistic. They say this is still going to be around. We're just delaying the $5 million per black person. My friends, they're trying to buy votes. And black people, just like white people, yellow people, they think for themselves, and they can see through this. Going to dismiss all my debts? You want to dismiss all of my debts and so we're so on. Yes, there's a history of slavery. You do not take that away. But California was not a slavery state to begin with. Never was. It's just the woke, progressive left pushing and pushing until they hit a dead end or off a cliff. And in this case, off the cliff and a dead end. And then you've got woke L.A. District Attorney George Gaston. Got a new chief of staff, and the chief of staff says, I'm proud that I'm a former looter. Yeah, I looted. And I want to abolish prisons, defund barbarian police. George Gaston promoted Tiffany Blacknell, an outspoken hater of the police, calling the police officers barbarians, and then bragged about being a looter in 1992 amidst BLM protest in 92, and told those worried about, well, BLM didn't exist at that point. I don't know where that date came from. And told those worried about the violent looting, cry me a river. Violent looting, not just picking up things that someone's already broken the glass, set fire to, but you run in and grab it and run out. She said that, let me get her quote. She's talking about the 92 Rodney King riots is what it was. And she said, I was a looter in 92. When the opportunity arose, we took some stuff, and not exactly her words, one of the most formulative moments of my life. Then adds, so don't come to me on my page complaining about protesters or looters. Don't text me stuff about the Whole Foods in West Hollywood and your beloved Santa Monica, because they're shutting down because of too much looting. And again, she is against prisons, stating prisons are obsolete. We need to reimagine America without it. Oh, I do not want to reimagine America without prisons for those who deserve to be in there. Her career riddled with controversy. There was a 2020 incident where she went behind the backs of the prosecutor and victim's family in a gang murder case to negotiate a sweetheart plea deal with the defendant. Gascon's choice is not that surprising when you look at the fact that he's accused of letting 10,000 cases pile up, driving scores of prosecutors to quit, the City of Angels fast developing a reputation for soaring crime, leaving residents terrified. Does that not sound like Gardner in St. Louis as to what happened? Yes, it does. Thanks for asking the question, Larry. It's exactly the same thing because of the Soros-funded district attorneys getting in place so they can basically destroy our legal system. But if you showed up on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol, you were just walking through between the velveted ropes, you're a criminal and you should be locked up. How do you get anywhere near comparing walking through the halls of the rotunda in the Capitol, taking pictures, guards on either side, maybe even escorting you through, standing inside the velvet ropes, not even getting over the velvet ropes, staying in line, coloring in the lines. How do you get anywhere like that compared to looting and rioting in the cities and streets, burning down businesses, often minority-owned businesses, hurting their community more? And justify it. Say, we don't need prisons for these people. We don't need prisons. Well, I'm going to treat it just like I do with the illegals coming in. My answer is, if you want more illegals, then you need to sign up to start offering your house as a place for them to stay until they go on to somewhere else. And don't tell me you don't have room in your house. Do you have a garage? They can use that. It'd be better than where many of them might be sleeping right now. You got a bedroom? Oh, you got a child? No problem. We can put four or five more in there with them. Men, women, whatever. Where are the leftists that are pushing so hard for our country to open its door and let anyone come in compared to the leftists who are willing to open their door and let anyone come in? They don't exist because they see themselves as better than you. And I know many of the elite progressives in Hollywood style and others that are all bought into immigration, the illegal immigration, is good for our country. It's not. I know they even have second, third homes they could open up in this country, much less maybe out back of the mansion. Now, I'm not knocking anyone who's achieved whatever they have for whatever reason. I don't care how much a baseball star gets, basketball, football, music. I don't care. If they earn it, people willing to pay it, so be it. That is part of our free enterprise system. The very ones that some of them stand against and shout against. And they want to make everything about migrants. It's not migrants, it's illegals. That brings us back almost to where we began today's program, doesn't it? And I'd mentioned earlier also how the polls are so damning on Biden right now. They are so upset on Biden. Joe Concha, writer for The Messenger and Fox analyst, sees a comparison even up to former President Nixon.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We are now entering the kind of territory Richard Nixon was in 1974 before he resigned. You have to go back to the same questions when you're talking about this president that most likely Americans are asking every day. Is he too old? Yes. Is he mentally or physically capable to do the job? No. Is he mentally or physically capable to do the job for another 4 years? No. Will he improve or decline with age? I think that's the rhetorical question to end all rhetorical questions. We know the answer. And anyone out there can Google right now. President Biden's schedule. On Friday, he had two items on his schedule, Todd. He received the daily intelligence briefing in the mid-morning, and then he had lunch with Vice President Kamala Harris. That's it. Nothing over the weekend. And then today, absolutely nothing outside of receiving the daily intelligence briefing at 11 a.m. more than 5 hours from now, because apparently our enemies like to sleep in on Mondays after a long weekend.
Joe Concha earlier this morning. So Biden has his briefing later this afternoon, or as based on the time frame he was in. Well, I will have to give him credit. If he sat down for lunch with Kamala, that had to be, oh, my God. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall and got something out of that, if there was any conversation whatsoever. But back to the polling, and Concha pointing out the polls are so bad for him, he's as bad as what Nixon was after he left office. And it's not just one-sided polls coming out. Let me give you a CNN survey showing Trump leading Biden by 5 points in Georgia, a state Biden carried in 2020 by roughly 12,000 votes. And, of course, where they said now there's been an effort to shut down voting as it was then. The poll also found Trump leading Biden by 10 points in Michigan. Biden won by 155,000 votes in 2020. And this survey by CNN also found majorities in both states, 54% in Georgia, 56% in Michigan, believe Biden's policies have worsened economic conditions. A Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll has similar results for Biden, showing him trailing Trump in several crucial swing states, 11 points in North Carolina, 7 points in Georgia, 6 points in Wisconsin. Trump leads him by 5 points in Nevada, 4 points in Michigan, 3 points in Arizona. Now, I want you to keep something in mind. If you are a Republican, do not take it that, well, I don't need to go vote. No, you got to go vote. Not just in the presidential race, but the House and the Senate. And those are critical. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. But as this report from the Hill states, whether it's unclear if any candidates will secure ballot access next November. All of this spells trouble for Biden. The president who won each of those states over Trump in 2020, except for North Carolina, supposedly won. Oh, I did it. I did a January 6th thing, didn't I? Okay. Anyway, they're saying that Trump would only need to flip a few of those same states to win the 270 electoral votes needed to secure the presidency. And all this coming as a national poll show the race getting tighter and Biden falling farther and farther behind against Trump, and Trump running farther and farther ahead of everyone else. And then you got David Axelrod, as we reported the other day, former senior advisor to Obama, who said, what I worry about from a Biden standpoint is these are the kinds of things you get when people are starting to rationalize their votes. In other words, am I really voting for the guy just because he's a Democrat or just because I like the far left, or am I voting because of how it's going to affect my family, the security of our nation? Why am I voting for this particular person that way? And I told you on that point, when Trump was up against Hillary, even folks that didn't like Trump at that point, consider this. The winner was going to get to appoint at least one, maybe more, Supreme Court justices. And as it turned out, Trump got to name 3 Supreme Court justices. So don't think the votes don't count. They're in the Oval Office, but also in the House and the Senate. And there's speculation now that it's possible Republicans could get control of the Senate as well. That's all speculation. You got to make it happen. Coming up in the next hour, as I'd mentioned earlier, Andy Piatoso of K Cafe Napoli on the industry in this year. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.